The champ is here! 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 The champ is here!
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Warren. It's Warren Valentine.
Let me just say, I did not come here to show out. I did not come here to impress you. Because to tell you the truth, when I leave here, I'm gone. And I don't care what you think about me. But just remember, when it hits the fan, brother, whether it's next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, you'll never be able to say that these brothers lied to you, Jack.
It's the Warren Valentine Show.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show today. Everybody in TV land, welcome to the show today. 919-410-7735. You know what we're talking about, what we're dealing with. I'm going to talk about a lot of different things in this first hour. I'm going to talk about some quick credit fixes for you guys. I'm also going to talk about this election cycle and what's going on with it. I'm going to talk about the tariffs and the effect that they're having on people. I'm going to talk about how the five CEOs who left the Trump administration, his business council, all of a sudden had dinner with him at his club last night. I wonder why. We'll talk about that. But I want to start off the show with two things that's not business related. First thing I want to talk about is Chicago. Now, you had all these shootings in Chicago over the weekend. And with all these shootings, they have no information. Nobody snitched. Nobody told nothing. That doesn't make sense to me. It don't make sense to me because unless you were one of the people who were doing the actual shooting, you're not snitching. You're a witness. It's a huge difference, people. Okay? Secondly, in Chicago, in the neighborhood I grew up in, the police put a truck on the street, filled it up with Louis Vuitton shoes, and left the truck open. And anybody who went over and grabbed a box of the shoes, they arrested. So they set them up to be arrested. Now, some people will hear this and say, well, they shouldn't have done anything in the truck. Now, the average pair of Louis Vuitton shoes is real. They run anywhere between $500 on the low end to $6,000 on the high end. And if you're poor and you're seeing these boxes of Louis Vuitton and the door is open, what do you think they're going to do? Now, I don't know what the right answer is for that. I don't know what the right answer is for that. Because we have a serious problem going on in Chicago, but this problem is coming to a city near you. And see, it's just like any other epidemic or cancer. If you don't get it in the beginning, it spreads. But I just wanted to touch on those two things. This other story I want to talk about, this is a story for Tony, all right? So, Tony, this is my story just for you. In Saudi Arabia, a man broke into a woman's home. He fired a weapon. He robbed her. He stabbed her. She died. Tony, what do you think happened to the man? They what? The family took care of him? Family didn't take care of him. The government took care of him. What do you think the government did? Nope, they didn't do everything that he did to her. But you know what the government of Saudi Arabia did? They crucified him. They literally put him on a cross and crucified the man. This is the last time this happened in Saudi Arabia. They did it to a Yemen man in 2010 for raping and killing a girl. So in Saudi Arabia, if you kill somebody that is a woman and you a man, you get crucified. They put you on a crucifix. What if we did that in America, Tony? What you think? Eye for eye? See, Tony loved this. He loved this. He loves, he thinks it should be an eye for an eye. He loves this. He's like, if we did this, this would stop all this nonsense in America. It would cut it all out. Yeah, maybe he got a point. Maybe he has a point. Because when you think about it, if you live in Saudi Arabia right now, and you was planning on robbing somebody, and you saw this man hanging up on a crucifix, man, look, you're gonna have a second opinion real quick. You're gonna be like I was that night in Miami when that dude pulled that mouthpiece out of his pocket. Hey, look, I don't want no problems. I want no problems. Hey. I mean, you have to understand that, look, when you see something like that, it will stop you from doing stuff. So maybe Tony has a very valid point here, because anybody with common sense would see that and be like, man, I ain't even trying to go down that road. I ain't even trying to get that set up. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about that, because when I saw the story, I said, oh, I got to talk about this, because this Tony kind of story right here. This is Tony's story right here. So let's talk a little bit about President Trump now. Let's talk about the tariffs, and let's talk about the CEOs. Now, I don't know if you guys remember. Let me get the exact story so I'm make sure I'm quoting this right. Five major CEOs who all publicly cut ties with the Trump administration nearly a year ago after Trump's Charlottesville comments had dinner with him last night. Their representatives didn't respond to questions from CNBC about their views and had they changed. Now, let me say something to you. I tell you that everything in this world is a business. This is why I wrote the book, Business of Love. I hope you buy the book. Go to Amazon right now and get the book, The Business of Love, or get the ebook on the website, thewbshow.com. Now, also on the website, I have a credit fix and repair ebook up there. You can get that too to help your credit. If you're trying to jump up your credit score and get in a better position, it's there. Now, everything is a business in this country. Everything. The country is a business. So these CEOs are seeing the tariffs, they're seeing profits, they're seeing all this stuff going on. And look, whether you like Trump or not, the economy has changed. Now, a lot of folks, I really got to thinking about this, right? A lot of folks who dislike Trump love Obama. Now, let me say this to you. Normally, I don't respond when people put stuff on the internet. Usually, I just, you know, whatever they say, they say. Valerie Jarrett did a tweet about women not being paid what men are paid, especially black women. And she talked about how it was a disgrace that this was going on and that the president and his cabinet need to do something about it. And I couldn't help but respond, you were in there for 8 years and you didn't change the law. So now he's supposed to change the law? Why didn't you do it? See, this is my problem with folks who all crazy about Obama. Look, I know you crazy about him because he was the first black president, because he had swag, because he was cool, because he's a good example. I get all that. But let's get to the nuts and bolts. What did he do for black people and poor people in this country? What did he do? And see, when I see Valerie Jarrett tweet something like this, it pisses me off, because I'm like, you all were there for 8 years. You could have done this on day one. You didn't. You didn't. And so everybody who's getting mad at Trump, see, I'm in the process of writing the book right now. Don't be mad at Trump. Don't blame Trump. Blame the media. Blame the DNC. Blame the Obama administration. Because they had an opportunity to do this. And see, the difference between Trump and Obama, he's doing it without asking. And he's daring them to say something to him about it. Daring them. In the Liddy Ledbetter Act, I remember when he signed that. He came on my show the day he signed that. He did my show. He was in Denver when he signed it. He was getting ready. They had just got done. I forgot what they were doing in Denver, but they were in Denver. He came on my show when he signed the Lilly Ledbetter Act. he said it was going to increase pay for women across the board and everything else. It didn't increase it. Didn't increase it. So let's have a real conversation here. Now, I want to talk about the tariffs. We're up against a commercial break. When we come back out of this commercial break, I'll talk about the tariffs and how it exactly works, because I don't think people understand how the tariffs work. They keep hearing we're putting tariffs on China and on Canada and on Mexico, but really what we're doing is raising the prices here in America. I'm gonna show you how this works so people understand, okay? So when we come out of this break, that's what we'll pick up with. Then I'll start talking about quick fixes for your credit, little things you can do that will help bump up your score relatively quickly. Okay. Go to the website, get thewbshow.com and get the ebooks. You listen to the WB.
I'm not saying that he doesn't like white people. I'm saying he has a problem. He has a, this guy is, I believe, a racist.
He is post-racial. By all appearances, you know, I forgot he was black tonight for an hour.
We've already donated to Haiti. It's called the U.S. income tax.
It is as though we are still on a plantation.
Warren Valentine, the number one street fighter in America.
All right. Welcome back to the show. Now, I'm going to give you some quick fixes for your credit. All right. But I want to talk a little bit about the tariffs. I want to talk about the election cycle. I mean, you just had this big election cycle and, you know, the Democrats thought that they were going to win a lot of these seats that Republicans had. And that just didn't happen. And let me, you know, I'm not a Democrat. I'm independent. I'm not a Republican, not a Democrat. Let me just say this to the Democrats, as somebody who's watching from the outside. You will never win an election when the economy is going good and you're running on the basis of one thing. You're going to be anti-whatever the president is. That's not going to get you elected. Not when the economy is stabilizing and doing well. It's not going to do it. You got to run on the issues. Now, if you look at if the Democrat that you guys should be looking at is the sister down in Georgia, right, who's running for governor. Her whole campaign has been based on the issues of the people of Georgia. It's been about what's needed for the people, how they can create jobs, how they can create better education, how they can improve their health care. How can they, as people in that state, work together to get things done? Man, look. That's the perfect campaign right now. That's how you beat Trump. You're not going to beat Trump by yelling and screaming at him because he's always going to out yell and scream you. And as long as the economy is doing well, people vote their wallets. That's what they vote. They don't vote other things. They vote their wallets. So you need to make this about you strengthening what's already happening economically. And then you get into everything else. So that's just a little advice from somebody who's watching from the outside. Now, let's talk about these tariffs. Now, if you're going to make the run against Trump and his administration, the tariffs is a perfect place for you to be making your argument. Because people hear the tariffs and they think it's a good thing. Let me explain to you why people think this is a good thing. Because what they're looking at is what Trump is telling them. Look, we got a deficit in trade with China. And because we got this big deficit in trade with China, they need to pay their fair share. They need to pay their fair share. And so people hear that and say, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. They do need to pay their fair share. And the average person who hears that really don't understand how this works. But it makes sense to them because in their mind, if we have a deficit with them, they need to make up the difference of what they're paying, right? So the way tariffs work is like this. China's going to make up that difference on what they're paying, but how do they make that money back up? That's the question that you have to ask yourself. Now, let me show you a perfect example of this, right? All the tax cuts that was put into place by this administration, everybody who got a little bump up in their money. Well, if they're not extended in 2020 and they fall back down, you lose that tax cut break, right? But not only that, if you're paying attention to inflation in this country, it's almost at an all-time high. So even with the tax cuts, the inflation has eaten up the tax cuts. So you get the tax cuts, but the inflation has eaten it up. And because the inflation has eaten it up, you really didn't get the tax cut. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? This is what's going on with the tariffs, right? When China or Canada or Mexico has to pay this difference, their products go up, which makes our products cost more. So if you're Whirlpool and you're getting your steel or aluminum tubing from China at X amount of dollars, and then China gets hit with the tariffs and tariffs raise the price of that aluminum barrel, guess who pays the difference when it comes to America? We do. So the cost of all of this is really going to fall back on the consumer. China's deficit will be made up, but it'll be made up by us. We'll be the ones paying the difference. This is what I'm talking about. I need you guys to understand that when you're looking at this stuff, on the surface, it may look like, yeah, it's there. But it's really not there, because we're going to be the ones who pay it in the back end. And because we're the ones who pay it in the back end, we're the ones who have the issue, have the problem. Let me give you another example of this, right? So President Trump wants to build a wall. He wants to build a wall. And he wants to spend billions of dollars to build a wall to keep people coming in from Mexico. Now, I'm not saying he's right. I'm not saying he's wrong. Because to me, this is self-explanatory. Right now, it was an article written today. Let me see who wrote this article. I'm going to give you the article so you can look at it yourself. See, I got my little secret sites that I be getting all the real information from. Not the stuff that y'all be looking at on CNN and all that other stuff. Let me find it. Okay. According to the USA Today, this is in the USA Today, more than 600,000 foreigners overstayed their U.S. visas in 2017. That is more people coming here via plane and staying here legally than anybody coming across the border in Mexico, y'all. But we need to put billions of dollars up. Billions of dollars up to block Mexico. That's what they're telling us. It's Mexicans that's coming in here. It's the Mexicans. You got more people flying in here who are staying every year. The average every year is somewhere between 500,000 and 700,000 people every year who visas expire but stay here. So we have to understand that when you're talking about the business of America and you're trying to say, well, it's bad business to let people come here illegally, visas are part of that business. Visas are part of that business. So we have to look at all this from the totality of what it is. I mean, it's the same thing I said about what's going on in Chicago. All these shootings and nobody saw nothing. That's crazy to me. If you weren't part of it, you are a witness, not a snitch. Listening to the WB.
There's so many young people dying in the streets, and education is a way to change that and opportunity. Mr. President, how do we emphasize this?
Well, look, the most important thing starts with parenting. Talking to young people constantly about the need to be focused on education. The second thing we've got to do is we've got to make sure we've got great teachers in the classroom.
What I want you to take seriously is what we have to do for the youth.
Carry on the struggle.
Warren Valentine, coast to coast and around the world.
Your child is my child. My child is your child. We should be looking out for each other's kids and working together to make sure that all these kids have a great opportunity, even if they come from a household that's not perfect.
Warren, I completely agree.
Join the Truth Fighters in full effect right now.
All right. Welcome back to the show. You know, I was talking about the terrorists, and I was showing you the difference with the terrorists. Now, one of the things I want you guys to understand is this, right? If you listen to the show, I tell you all the time, you have to look at everything from a business perspective, whether it's your love relationship, your friendships, the legal side of things. It's a business relationship. Let me show you a perfect example of what I'm talking about when it comes to business, right? They're running a documentary about Trayvon Martin. And people failed to realize the whole case ended up being about business. It wasn't about the young man getting killed. It was about business. Think about this. You had a young unarmed boy get killed by George Zimmerman. You had people showing empathy towards Trayvon Martin. They even had a clip in the documentary of Donald Trump being empathetic towards Trayvon Martin. Once Obama said the kid that died, if he had a son, would have looked like him, everything changed. And then it became about the business of making Trayvon the criminal. He's a thug. He's a gangster. He's a UFC fighter. He was making lean. Now, let me tell you something. That was funny to me in the documentary because they said tea and Skittles are used to make lean. I don't know what kind of lean they've been making. That ain't what you use to make lean. That is not the ingredients for lean. But they were talking about that. And I was like, what in the world? Now, it ended up becoming big business, though. See, what happened was this, right? It all started with the O.J. Simpson case. Now, O.J. was guilty, in my opinion. But it ended up being big business before television because that was the first glimpse into reality TV. Them following the Bronco. Everybody and their mother was watching it. Everybody and their mother was watching the end of the trial. That created court TV. That created all this other reality television stuff. Now, once this Trayvon Martin case hit, it became big business because it became huge ratings television-wise, magazines, radio. It got people names. Ben Crump. Nobody knew who Ben Crump was. I did. But people didn't know who Ben was to the Trayvon Martin case. And the crazy thing about it was Ben wasn't even their lawyer. He was their lawyer for the civil side if they were going to sue the city. But people thought he was Johnny Cochran for them. Wasn't Johnny Cochran for them. I mean, so it's about the business. For Ben, it was about the business of getting his name out there. For all those Negroes out there marching and being up front, it was about the business of they needed to look like they were running it, look like they was the leaders. Now, let me show you what really made me understand the business part of everything. Because, see, I didn't even understand it at first. I didn't. I'm going to be honest with you. I was very naive to the game at first. What woke me up about the business part was the Gina Six. When the Gina Six situation happened, it's two things that happened down there that made me realize This is all about business, and this is all about celebrity and fame. It's not about nothing else. Two things. First thing, we all sat in the room and agreed nobody was going to have any kind of a party or make any money off of this. Everybody agreed to that. It was Sharpton. It was Tom Joyner. It was Steve Harvey. It was me. It was Michael Baisden. It was Russ Parr. It was Ricky Smiley, Coco Brother. We were all the big national talk shows, okay? And we were all broadcasting from there, and we all sat in Sharpton's penthouse suite at the Ritz in New Orleans, and we all agreed, hey, we just going to do our shows. We ain't selling no books. We ain't selling nothing. We not doing no parties. Everybody agreed. Baisden threw a party. Baisden made $100,000+ off that party. Gave each one of them boys' family $1,000. Real talk. It was so bad, I had to stop Russ Parr because Russ Parr was going to beat him down at the party. That's how bad it got. Then the day of the march came. This is when I realized it was business for the civil rights people. You know it was two separate marches down there, right? It was a march for Jesse's people and a march for Sharpton's people. Because neither one of them wanted to look like they wasn't the leader of it. They didn't want to look like that. And so literally you had two separate camps down there. Two separate camps. Unbelievable. Brain the Funk says it was Mark Thompson that started the info. Started what info, Brain the Funk? I don't know what info you're talking about. No, Mark Thompson was not the first one to talk about Genius 6. In fact, I can tell you who the first people who ever did anything on the Genius 6, Brain the Funk, was the BBC. They were the first ones to do anything on them. Then a local talk show host down in Baton Rouge named Tony Jackson or Tony Jameson, he did a story on them. Then Tony came and did my show. And after he did my show and we started talking about it, then he did Sharpton's show. Genius 6 was not even thought about by anybody else until he did my show and then Sharpton's show. Then the mama, auntie, cousin, everybody else start going on everybody else's show. That's how that happened. Mark wasn't the first one to bring Genius 6 up. He was not. I love Mark. Mark, my guy. Make it plain. I love Mark. But Mark was not the first one to bring that up. He was not. He was not the first one to bring that up. If you go look, in fact, you can go Google right now, Genius 6 BBC. Go look at that date. They were the very first ones to run anything on the Genius 6. Very first one. And really, the local host in Louisiana was the one who brought it to national attention because he brought it to my attention. Then I brought it to Sharpton's attention. So it wasn't like that at all. It wasn't like that at all. If anybody else is trying to take credit, I mean, that was the whole problem that people had with Baisden, because Baisden tried to take credit like he created the Genius 6, like he had set everything up. He didn't. He didn't. So, I mean, it's just, but see, for me, and see, this is the way I am, right? I didn't care who took the credit because all I cared about was helping these boys. So it didn't make a difference to me who was getting in front of the camera or who was going, you know, be known for the person. I didn't care about that. Eva says, hello, I'm new to the channel. Notification always on. Hey, Eva, welcome to the show. So it's to me, it's about understanding that this stuff is business, y'all. Even when these people are setting up marches and all this, this is a business. This is all about business. All about business. Now, I'm going to show you something else that most Americans don't think about when it comes to business. When we come back out of this commercial break, this is what I tell you all every day. get off of everything that separates us. Stop being separated because of religion. Stop being separated because of ethnicity. Stop being separated because of class. Stop being separated because of education. Stop fighting about racism. People who are racist is not going to change. It's no reason to fight that. It's really not. We need to be talking about solutions. That's what we need to be talking. We focus on the solution, the problem will go away. All right, when we come back after this commercial break, let's talk about some quick credit repair fixes and about the business of really surviving in America. All right, you're listening to the WB.
Welcome back to the Warren Valentine Show, heard coast to coast and border to border, giving the truth fighters a voice in the call for justice. Join the truth fighters in full effect right now.
All right. Welcome back to the show. All right. So let me do this. Let me do the importance of getting your credit together, right? Let me give you one of the most brilliant things in history that ever happened, but what turned out to be one of the most dangerous things in history that ever happened. One of the most brilliant things in history that ever happened was the invention of the credit card. But one of the most dangerous things that ever happened was the invention of the credit card. So, it used to be a time in this country where we did not have credit. Not in the sense that you had a credit card. You had credit at your local store. You would go, you get bread, milk, whatever. You come back at the end of the month, you pay your total bill, okay? Or, like when I was a kid, right? My mama, to the day she passed, was always mad because it was no more layaway when she passed. Because my mama was the queen of the layaway. She would go, she'd figure out what you want in January for December, and put it in there for January and make monthly payments all the way up until December to get it out. $25, $25, $25, $25. And so you got to understand that we had a different time, different place. And so what happened was one of the department stores said, hey, instead of giving you layaway, why don't we just give you credit? Why don't we literally just give you a line of credit and we'll charge you interest on this credit? Now, what's funny is this. This is a side note. What's funny is in America, there is no usury laws. Do you know what that is? A usury law is a law that is put into place to stop corporations or people from overtaxing you for money you're borrowing. But there's none in America. So they arbitrarily can pick what the number is going to be on their interest. And then to make it not look arbitrarily, they came up with the credit rating system. Now, the credit rating system has nothing to do with the American government. It has nothing to do with it at all. This was private entities and companies that said, hey, we're going to rate everybody credit for you. This way you can legally say why they're getting a 20% interest rate compared to somebody who's getting a 0% interest rate. And so with the creation of this credit card and the fact that you don't have usury loans, this was nothing more than what the mob was doing back in the day. This was racketeering. And it still exists today. It still exists today. I mean, really think about it. You put your money in the bank and get less than 1% interest on it, and then they loan it back out at 6% interest. They making 5.9% interest on your money. So they create the credit card. Then they arbitrarily make these Equifax, Experian, all this. And then they're if you're doing business, it's Dun's in Broad Street, Brad Street. You arbitrarily make these companies that's gonna monitor everybody's credit for them. And then they put a score to it. Once that happened, it was a legalized way to charge as much as they wanted to charge when they loan money out. Now, another sidebar. This is how business works, though. They're going to find every opportunity to make money. And they make money because people like stuff quick, right? When you go to a cash station, an ATM, usually it's a $3 to $4 to some of them $5 fee to take your own money out. You paying the fee to get your own money. That's crazy. That's crazy when you think about it. As much money as the banks are making off of the American public, you would think they would just say all ATM fees are free. But they're not doing it. They're going to make their money. And so you got to understand that this is about business. And this is the importance of having your credit in a certain position. Because what's happened in this country, it didn't even used to be this bad, but it's gotten to this point and it's only going to get worse. I mean, to be honest with you, if you're a biblical person, you can make the argument really that the mark of the beast is credit. Your social security number is the mark of the beast because everybody will have the mark and everybody has the mark. And it didn't used to be this bad. But think about it, right? In today's society, even when you are trying to get car insurance, they got to run your credit. When you trying to get your lights cut on, they got to run your credit. You trying to get water. Now, water should be something you don't have to run. They want to run your credit for water. For water. And then based on your credit, if your credit is bad, they make you put up a deposit fee. Think about how crazy that is. You need water to survive. They want you to, hey, your credit ain't good, man. So, you know, you can either put up this convenience fee or, you know, you can go down to your local Y and shower and do whatever you need to do. I mean, this is how crazy this is. But this is all about business. It's all about business. It's about how can they control the public. Now, why is this all about business? Now I'm about to throw a wrinkle in the game. Because debt equals slavery. Warren, what are you talking about? We're up against a break. We come back out of this break, top of the hour. I will show you how debt itself is the new form of slavery. Well, not the new form, one form of slavery. People don't realize the decisions that they make and do in their lives every day because of debt. Because of debt. So, I will give you to after the break and come back and answer these questions for you. You listen to WB.